Hi, Kirk Jones. I'm happy to speak now with you about your fantastic film, I Swear. It's already a little while ago that I could see it. It was at a lot of festivals after premiering at TIFF. First, how does it feel to have like almost a year now passed since you premiered this film and have it go off like that and be so successful and touch so many people?
Yeah, it seems like a long time. We started in September last year in Toronto, and I've really been non-stop promoting the film for about 9 months. So Germany is my last stop at the moment, and then I think I have Italy later on in the year. It's been amazing, amazing, especially Europe and the UK. The reaction's been incredible.
Did you get any special feedback from the Tourette community about the film? Because it deals with John Davidson, who suffers from Tourette and has been an advocate for the illness.
I think everyone who was making the film were there, number one, because of John Davidson. They wanted to honor his amazing story. But number two, to make the Tourette's community proud. The reactions that we've had from the community so far have been incredible. I've had wonderful stories. I had a story about a prison officer who watched the film and realized that one of his most difficult inmates had a level of Tourette's, and he got him help and significantly improved his life. And then a mother wrote to me, and she said her son went to football practice every week and he was always nervous and very anxious. And 1 week she said, "Are you nervous?" And he said, "No, not this week, because I know a lot of my friends have seen I Swear and they will understand a bit more about my condition." So for me, it's been a really rewarding experience to travel with this film and see that it's helping people and educating people as well.
Your film especially shows John's childhood and youth when Tourette was very little understood and in fact very little known, and many people assumed his tics were voluntarily. How much did you know about Tourette personally when you started to work on the story, and when did you first hear about John and his work?
I first heard about John in 1989. I don't think I knew very much about Tourette's then. I was no different to most people. I thought that Tourette's was a condition where people shout and swear. And actually, now I know that it's so much more complex than that. First of all, only about 15% of people who have Tourette's swear and shout, and that's the Tourette's that John has. That's called coprolalia. About 85% of people have other tics, motor tics, twitching of the head or the neck or arms or blinking. Some are internal, so you never actually realize that people have got Tourette's. So my knowledge was really limited. And what I hoped was that if we got to make this film, because you never really know when you start working on a project if it's going to get made, that if we got to make it, I knew that it could help people's understanding of Tourette's. I knew it could be a really entertaining film, but that it could help people understand those who have Tourette's. But what I didn't realize was that there was a much wider community of neurodiverse people who have autism or OCD or ADHD or high anxiety or Tourette's who would be able to relate to this film. And lots of letters from people saying, "Thank you for highlighting a neurodiverse condition," because it's so rarely seen in the cinema.
How close was the collaboration with John, and how much did you both develop the character?
I just sat and listened to John Davidson. I sat there for days and days and just kept talking to him and just said, "Look, just talk about anything that you can think of in your life. It doesn't have to be in order. Maybe some things will be irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Just talk, talk, talk." And I just had an iPhone and I kept recording everything. I went away and I put a huge document together, and that document was about 200 pages long, but it had everything in it that John had told me. With regards to collaboration, I made John an associate producer almost on day one because I wanted him to feel that he had a voice, that he was able to speak and comment on the film. I agreed to send him the script as I wrote it. Every 20 pages, I would send it away, and he would comment. Almost all of his comments were related to facts and figures and dates. There was nothing that related to the tone of the film. So I felt that I was in a good place there and that I understood from the conversations I'd had with him, what it was like to have Tourette's. And then, of course, I showed him the final film before it was finished because I wanted him to be able to comment. And if there was anything that upset him or that I'd got wrong, I had a chance to put it right. But thankfully, there wasn't. He was really thrilled and just amazed, I think, that we'd been able to put this film together.
How did the casting for the film go? Aramayo, he gives like an amazing performance, and you decided to cast an unknown actor, which often is a challenge on many levels, also with producers.
That there's a detail which sounds as if it's not connected to casting, but actually it's completely connected. That is that in order to get the film made, my wife and I, we just sold our our house and we literally put every penny that we have into the film and we borrowed more money again. So the reason why that's relevant is that I had no one to answer to. I had no financiers, studios, executive producers. Having made films now for 25 years, that's not normal. I had complete and total creative control on this project. So what that meant was I was able to have a really good relationship with my casting director. We sat and we talked about actors who were right for the part, not right because the financiers wanted them or because they were famous or because they'd just been in a Hollywood movie, but actors who were absolutely right for the part. And Robert Aramayo was an example of that. And I've never had that before. I've never had that total control. And I think then Robert went on to win Best Actor at the BAFTAs, beating some huge, significant talent. And I believe that is because we were left alone. There was no one involved, no one trying to take control of the major decisions, and that we were allowed to do whatever we want. So I was fortunate enough to be nominated for a BAFTA for my script, and I had no one give me any notes. The casting director was won a BAFTA for casting, and she had no notes from anyone. I was able to cast Robert. He won Best Actor. So some people could say it's a coincidence. Even if we'd have gone to a traditional source of finance, those things would have happened anyway. But I don't think they would have happened. I think they happened because we were a truly independent film and we had no one to answer to. Maybe financiers will look at this example and think, you know, now and again, maybe we should let filmmakers do what they're supposed to do rather than trying to tell them you can't do this, you can't do that. Who knows? That's not really for me to decide, but I think it's a really interesting part of the project.
How much of a performance is directly inspired or maybe I may say like copied from John's behavior and how much is his own interpretation of Tourette?
So when I first met Robert, he talked about needing a 3-month period where he wanted to live with John, work with John, walk the dog with John, watch TV. And he did that for 3 months. And in the evenings, he also spoke to people who had Tourette's unrelated to John, because there's no two people have the same type of Tourette's. Every form of Tourette's is unique and different. Robert wanted to speak to as many people as he could who had Tourette's to understand the condition and how it felt to live with it. But he also felt that he wanted to get to know John Davidson aside from the Tourette's. He wanted to know the man. He just wanted to know John Davidson. So he did all of that research in a 3-month period. And at that point, he stopped. He didn't see John again. He didn't speak to John until after the production had finished, because he had to take ownership of John Davidson. He had to be John Davidson. So that was his preparation. And I did not see Robert Aramayo performing as John Davidson until day one of the shoot. I didn't want him to have to show me before he was ready. And I knew he needed those 3 months.
What was the biggest challenge while shooting the film?
Well, there was definitely a pressure that I've never experienced before, because it was my money. It was my life savings were in the film. So that was unusual. The weather was really difficult and we had a very tight schedule. I was really keen that we used people from the Tourette's community. We used 30 people who had Tourette's. The days with the community, they weren't difficult. They weren't more stressful than any other days, but we were just very aware that some of their conditions are very delicate and we wanted to be very respectful and we wanted to give them space where they could sit quietly if they wanted to, if things were getting a little bit too much for them. Some people had autism, so the lights were quite bright and they weren't sure about those. Those days felt like there was more pressure because we wanted to literally just look after people and make sure they were comfortable on a film set. But yeah, we had a cast of 90 and 30 of those had Tourette's. So yeah.
How was working together with the other actors? Because the main character also has very delicate relationships with his mother, then with his best friend, this woman who becomes like a surrogate mother to him.
Getting to know John, I realized there were some key characters in his life. And he literally says that Dottie and Tommy, who gave him his first job and looks after him, if it wasn't for them, John isn't sure that he would still be here. He said he was very low and that the condition had really dragged him down. You can imagine, not being in control of what you say. In fact, often saying something which is the opposite of what you feel and upsetting so many people, making them angry, making them aggressive towards you because you've said something to them. And every day for John, he'd go to the shops to buy some bread. And it could be a good day where he shouts something to someone who knows him who is from the community and cares about him, and they say, hello, John, how you doing? All right, yeah, yeah, good, good. Or he could shout or say something inappropriate to a stranger who literally wants to punch him in the face. And that's what it's like living with Tourette's. And that's why a lot of people, and John has had periods where he rarely goes out the house because it's so stressful. He has no idea what's going to happen next. So that was one of the things that was important to try and convey in the film.
You also mentioned that the film could be very entertaining, and it is funny. What was that, a conscious decision to make a film about disability that is sad but it's also funny at moments? And I remember that when I saw the film it was actually in Tallinn at the Black Knight, that you had this kind of little video where you told the audience you're allowed to laugh and John wants you to laugh.
One of the problems that the Tourette's community has had for decades is that they're laughed at, and that's because often they say things which are quite obscure and quite funny. But I realized that Tourette's was a very complex condition, and that maybe 10% of it was funny, but there was also a very, very serious side to it. And so I didn't want to ignore the humor. And John says that, you know, when he's with his friends and his friends who have Tourette's, and when they come together as a community, they laugh a lot. You know, humor is a big part of socializing for them, and they laugh at each other's tics as well. So I didn't want to lose that, and I didn't want the audience to feel that this was just a serious subject. It's a very human subject. So I wanted to keep the humor to such an extent that when I put the film together, the opening scene, which is where John shouts out at the Queen at the moment in the film, that was much further on down the film. I was worried that there was nothing at the beginning to make the audience aware that they could laugh. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take that scene, I'm going to move it to the front, and that will be a scene where John shouts. He says something very inappropriate, but in a relatively safe environment where people understand him, they know him, he's there to receive an award for his Tourette's. I thought it's safe and it feels quite funny to me. So I took that to open the film and almost to warm the audience up, to, you know, let them know they could laugh.
It's been almost 10 years before that since you directed a film. Why did it take so long? Was it working on this film that took you so long? Because you just said you poured all your money in it.
Yeah.
And will your next project also take 10 years?
I hope not. I hope it doesn't take that long. Yeah, I mean, this one took about, probably coming up to about 4 years now. And then there was COVID, where the whole world just went crazy. The honest answer is that, unfortunately, a friend of mine was killed on a film set, and I was asked if I would help set up a charity. And for about 3 years, I set up that charity, and it was a lot of work. It was a lot more work than I thought. So that's probably took out another 3 years, and then with COVID. But I've already started a new project. I hope to be shooting that sometime next year. So I do not want to leave 10 years again. I just want to keep working.
Would you like to say maybe just a little bit about what this new project is about?
Yeah, the new project that I'm about to start working on is based on a 1970s TV cartoon in the UK about a very regular guy who goes into a fancy dress shop. If you went to a party and it's fancy dress, then you go to a shop and you can try on lots of outfits, and he does that. And when he tries on different outfits from history, he goes back in time and he solves problems, huge problems of people warring and hating each other and fighting each other. And I think the world has got a number of problems at the moment which could deal with people looking at with a huge amount of common sense and just saying, right, stop the war, stop this, stop that, stop damaging the planet. And I think it might be time for Mr. Ben, which is the character's name, to come out of retirement.
It's a wonderful closing word. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much.